Focus on Life.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. Recently, I've been thinking about some people who have impacted my journey through life. Ministry means that my wife Kay and I have met thousands of people around the world, but there are some who just stand out. Simply put, they are beautiful souls. Tonight, at the end of what might have been a very busy Sunday for you, I'd like to introduce three of them to you: Steve, Larry, and Peter. Perhaps as you meet them through the words and music that we share this evening, you'll be thinking of some of the friends who have helped, inspired, or influenced you for God and for good. All of us are gifted with the mysterious blessing called influence, the chance to strengthen others, to make a difference as we go out of our way to catch others doing something right and bring encouragement, or as we listen, bring a smile, or serve. So tonight, allow me to introduce you to three beautiful people. It was one of those "Is this God speaking to me?" moments that those who follow Jesus occasionally experience. A thought surfaces, seemingly from nowhere, and the persistent luminosity of it makes us wonder if the Holy Spirit is broadcasting on our personal wavelength. Some believers insist that their lives are punctuated with daily, even hourly, revelations. I haven't found God to be quite so chatty. And so when I do sense his nudge, usually I dash into crisis mode. Is this thought that races around my mind just my wishful thinking? Is it truly the divine voice, or merely the after effects of last night's chicken tikka masala? I occasionally wish God would speak with a louder, clearer voice, but perhaps he whispers because he wants us to draw closer that we might hear. Back to that inner nudge. Halfway through a Sunday morning service, I was just about to preach when the thought surfaced again: take a look at my beautiful people. And so I did. I looked around at the sea of faces that was our congregation, and I recalled some of their stories. Just over there, three rows back, was John, who married after desperately longing for a soulmate for decades, only to lose his darling in a drunk driver-caused crash. Towards the back of the church was Sally, who poured her life out on a lonely mission field. Not many responded to her life of kingdom service, but she stayed the course until retirement. Now, I know she feels somewhat lost, surplus to requirements. I look her way, but she is unaware, for her eyes are shut tight, her hands lifted in worship. Beautiful indeed. The whisper confirmed the truth that God, who flings stars into being with a word, daubs drab skies with rainbows, and paints deep sea fishes in stunning colours that no human eye will ever see, this God of ours finds the greatest delight when he sees hearts that trust him through mystery. And then I can recall another dazzling sight, one that still brings me to tears as I recall it. Some dear friends of ours had just been given a terminal cancer diagnosis. A tearful oncologist delivered the dreaded news. Our friend Steve had been given just months to live. There were hopeful possibilities with some radical treatment options, but he and his family were treading a bewildering path. The possibility of a medical solution, their belief in a miracle-working God who can heal in a moment, all entwined with an upcoming visit to a hospice to discuss end-of-life care. Yet, when life is threatened, life still goes on. The weekend after the dark diagnosis, Steve, a brilliant evangelist who used comedy in his tricks and laughs presentations, performed at four outreach events. His wife, Becca, continued to lead Restored. It's a non-profit organization dedicated to help victims of domestic abuse. One bright morning, during a transatlantic phone chat, Becca spoke of some of the good things that they were celebrating, even in this horrible season. We don't want to miss the lovely things that God is surely doing. That's when I had to pause for tears, because in celebrating treasure that can be found even in darkness, Becca and Steve had themselves become quite beautiful in their persistent faith and faithfulness. In the intense and unwelcome roller coaster ride that suffering brings, they were clinging to God through the white knuckle ride. They were, in short, a stunning sight. Often we get focused on what's wrong with the world and with the church. Fixated on the failures of high-profile Christian leaders, we sink into despair. Preoccupied with the picky pettiness that breaks out when someone suggests moving the pews, we wonder if there's any future for a people so resistant to change. But all around us today, there are quiet yet glorious examples of tenacious dedication. Beautiful. If you're one of those people, know this. As you're faithful in your struggles, your love for Christ surely turns his head. And if some of us are preoccupied with ugliness in ourselves, in others, in our broken world and imperfect church, then let's know this. There's beauty to be found in the most surprising places. We need to look for it. If you will, please share a prayer for Becca and her lovely family. When I retired last year from pastoral ministry, Steve and Becca totally surprised me by flying out to the USA to be with us for that special final weekend. 5 days later, they flew home, arrived at Heathrow, and that day they were told that the doctors were withdrawing all treatment because medically there was nothing more that could be done. A few close friends gathered for a dinner with Steve and Becca a week or two later, and I can remember proposing a toast to Steve as we raised his glasses to him. As he quietly responded with a smile, I simply said, "To you, Steve, you're the best of the best." Within weeks, his journey on this earth ended. He didn't lose his battle with cancer. He won it because he refused to lose his grip on the love of Jesus. And he was faithful to the end. Now he is safely home. And his beautiful legacy continues, surely impacting thousands for the gospel, including me. Well done, Steve. Well done. The second of the beautiful people that I'd like you to meet is Larry. Larry, he used to be my hairdresser back in the wonderful days when I actually had hair. Larry used to do a fine job with my copious mop. Sadly, the passing of time has meant that the mop has become a stranded peninsula on top of my head, and what used to look like Texas up there now resembles the Isle of Wight. I purchased some clippers and told Larry that I really didn't have enough hair to warrant his professional services, but I still see him at church, and whenever I spot him, I'm reminded that he's one of the primary reasons for the growth of our congregation. Larry cuts hair for a living, but he lives to get alongside people and share Jesus with them. Hairdressers can make great evangelists, not only because they have a captive audience in the chair, but with all that scissor waving, they're also armed. And Larry is more than talk. Living alone, he usually spends his evenings in the bars and cafes near his salon. He has countless friends who know full well that he loves God and he loves them. Over three decades ago, Larry met a young client called Nikki, a brilliant, beautiful law student. Nikki was paying her way through college by working evenings as a stripper at a local club. She came to get her hair and nails done at Larry's salon, and mid-haircut, Larry chatted with her about Jesus and invited her to church. It's been said that we make decisions about people within the first 30 seconds of meeting them. Larry impressed Nikki. Many men ogled her, but Larry saw her. And so the following Sunday, she showed up and decided to follow Jesus. In the week that followed, she read the entire New Testament. Nikki quickly realized that most Christians don't remove their clothing for a living, and so she quit her job, but invited her fellow employees from the club to attend her baptism. A good number came, and they didn't dress for church. Burly security guards wore donkey jackets with the name of the club emblazoned on their backs, and the dancers dressed in, well, not very much. As they walked down the center aisle and planted themselves in the front pew, some of our church ladies were actually seen covering their husbands' eyes. A good number of the club workers decided to follow in Nicky's footsteps that day, and so now we had a gaggle of utterly unchurched new converts to disciple, which was beautiful, but not without its challenges. Our church grew from a few hundred to a few thousand in the years that followed, and we didn't have a strategic plan for expansion or even an eye on bigger numbers. It was Larry who was the catalyst for the mushrooming growth that followed. Wind the clock forward to now. Nicky is still following Jesus, and Larry, now in his early 80s, is still cutting hair, inviting people to church and still viewing the downtown area of our city as his parish. Recently, he was out of town and decided to treat himself to dinner at a rather posh and expensive steakhouse. As he walked in, he smiled at a family that was dining there and was surprised when the young mother came over to his table, gave him a hug and told him that she and her husband wanted to buy his dinner. They had never met before, but she said she believed that he was a man who loved people and that they'd felt that love just when he entered the restaurant. The first impression was powerful. Later, Larry commented, "Them paying for my dinner was amazing, but even more so was them feeling the love for others that God has placed in my heart." We live in a world that usually seems too busy to notice and too self-obsessed to care. We can all hurtle through life, heads down, phone focused, indifferent to those around us. But again, we can turn heads and even hearts by giving attention to the first impressions that we make. A word of kindness, a helping hand, or even just a smile can have an impact, a beautiful impact. If in doubt, ask Larry. One of the great British hobbies is queuing, and in my experience, we're rather good at it, which comes from practice. In some cultures, people don't respect the order of a queue, and an unseemly free-for-all results, sometimes accompanied by yelling and elbowing. But with the exception of Black Friday, when some shoppers reportedly rugby-tackle others in order to snag a bargain microwave, we Brits politely line up. That's why, just yesterday, I was mildly incensed when, having waited patiently in a queue for some 11 hours, okay, 45 minutes, three chaps rudely pushed their way to the front of the line. Quietly outraged, I pondered the reason for my frustration, and it all came down to this. My carefully planned schedule was being interrupted by their barging in. I had my day all organised, or so I thought. Most of us don't do well with interruptions, be they in conversation, in unexpected and sudden demands, or being stuck on a traffic jammed M25, where I tend towards temporary atheism. But when I look at Jesus, I see a life where interruptions were many. They even became the turning points of his ministry. He goes to a wedding with friends. His mother interrupts the occasion with a request that he help with a wine shortage. He responds. Crowds interrupt his quiet retreat with his friends. A synagogue leader called Jairus approaches and pleads with Jesus, "Please come, heal my darling daughter." But even on the way, he's hampered and almost crushed by the thronging crowds that hemmed him in. And suddenly, a woman grabs the hem of his cloak, frantic to know a halt to her chronic hemorrhaging. She interrupts and he stops. So, what has all of that got to do with a third beautiful person? Well, this week is Premier Christian Radio's 30th birthday, and that occasion brings to mind Peter Kerridge, who passed away in June 2024. When Peter passed, there were many tributes paid to the man who steered the Premier Media Group to the place of huge influence that it holds today. The late Peter Kerridge was much beloved by the Premier team, an accolade that not all CEOs enjoy. I spent some time with Peter, historically as a fellow board member, and then also as a broadcaster on Premier and as a columnist for Premier Christianity magazine. One lingering characteristic of his lives on with me as I ponder his impact. I'd show up at the Premier Studios, a hive of busyness with the whole Premier team hard at work. Peter occupied a modest office with glazed walls, and there were many times when he'd look up, spot me, and wave me over, welcoming me with a broad Geordie accent that always felt so warm, he was willing to suspend whatever he was doing for a few minutes of catch-up. And the conversation would not be limited to ministry. There was always an inquiry as to how I was doing, and not just what I was doing. On occasion, it was my turn to tap on his door and interrupt to him, but in the midst of incredible demands, he always tried to find time. He was focused, visionary, driven for the kingdom even, but he was willing to be interrupted. In our days, as we seek to corral our pesky smartphones and sprint through our pressing lists of tasks, let's be open to the ministry of blessed interruptions. Thanks for modelling that so beautifully for me, Peter. Now you're experiencing your reward, eternity with Jesus and all his friends, uninterrupted. Tonight, I've introduced you to three people who have made such a difference in my life. And as I remember them and go into this new week, I'm asking the Lord to enable me to be someone who lightens a load, brings some hope, offers some help. God, enable all of us to live beautifully. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.